This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Judge Juan Merchan, he's given himself a deadline of November 12th to decide if the conviction against Trump should be tossed. Based on the Supreme Court's recent ruling on immunity, if he tosses the conviction, there'll be no sentencing.
We the people of the United States,
more perfect.
Our perfect union.
Heritage legal expert Hans von Spakovsky.
Well, Hans von Spakovsky back on the Annie Fry Show now with some results to talk about as well. Donald Trump wins the election. Hans, welcome back to the show. It's good to have you here.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been a very interesting week, hasn't it?
It sure has. Don't have to ask you specifically about, are we protecting our elections? In a minute, I'll ask you if you felt like we protected them and if they are better suited in 2024 than 2020. But the main question that I have for you as a legal expert with the Heritage Foundation, Hans, there's a lot of lawfare that has been levied against Donald Trump leading up to this moment. He is the president-elect. We're hearing rumblings about Jack Smith, and he's supposed to be sentenced in a few weeks. Can you kind of lay out for us the legal challenges that president-elect Donald Trump currently faces?
All right. Well, remember, he's got two federal prosecutions going on against him, criminals. There's the one down in Florida, which is under the Espionage Act. Then there's the one up in the District of Columbia, also by Jack Smith, claiming that he defrauded the U.S. with, you know, what was happening on January 6th. The stories are already out that Jack Smith is talking to his superiors at DOJ about dismissing these lawsuits because it is the longtime policy and view of the U.S. Justice Department that you cannot prosecute a sitting president. Now, this comes on top of the fact that you'll recall that the judge down in Florida ruled that Jack Smith had been illegally appointed, that the attorney general had no authority to appoint him as a special counsel. That case is on appeal before the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. But that issue also arises in the D.C. case. So I think pretty much those two federal cases, they're done. They're gone. That leaves the Georgia prosecution, Fannie Willis. As you know, December 5th, there were supposed to be arguments in an appeal that she filed before the Georgia Court of Appeals, which said that her former lover, I guess, Nathan Wade, had to be dismissed from the case. The case was appealed because lawyers for the defendant said, well, she also should have been recused from the case because of her unethical, unprofessional conduct. She has a huge problem, even if that case were to go forward, because of, as you remember, the U.S. Supreme Court's case on presidential immunity, which said you can't prosecute a president for official acts he commits in office. And if you look at her indictment, it's filled with official acts that she claims were criminal. So I think her case falls apart too. That leaves the two cases, obviously, in New York. The one brought by Alvin Bragg, the one brought by Letitia James, the attorney general. They've gotten verdicts in both cases. Quite frankly, if the judges in those cases were not as politically biased as they are, they would dismiss the cases despite the verdicts. There are lots and lots of problems with those cases, but I don't know if that's going to happen. you know, Judge Merchan, who's probably one of the worst state court judges in the country, may try to sentence him to time in prison. The Secret Service is going to object to anything like that. They're going to say they can't protect a president in prison. I would hope that he would actually act rationally, that is the judge, and not go forward with this. But there's no telling what the Attorney General and Alvin Bragg will do.
So it is within the realm of possibility that Donald Trump, who was convicted on those 34 charges that were 34 different ways to say that he committed the same crime, is my recollection. It is possible that Judge Merchan could still sentence him to jail time.
That's right. And by the way, it wasn't just 34 times doing the same thing. It was 34 times for committing an imaginary crime, something that is not criminal under the law. I would actually hope that the Justice Department, under new leadership, might actually come in and start fighting what Bragg is doing. Because remember, that in that case, Bragg was claiming a violation of federal law. And state, city prosecutors, they don't have any authority to prosecute federal cases. And yet the Justice Department, the Biden Justice Department, they just sat by and didn't do or say anything.
So there's an appeal of that case, correct?
Correct.
What is the process there and the timeline?
That's up before the Court of Appeals. I would hope they would now expedite their decision on the matter and come out with a decision, hopefully throwing the entire case out. And just the political consequences and, frankly, constitutional consequences of trying to put a elected president in prison, we've never had that ever happen before, and there's a good reason for that. Both of those cases, particularly the one filed by Letitia James also, those were just claims without any merit. And look, it's not just me saying this. Andy McCarthy, as you know, who's a former very good assistant U.S. prosecutor in New York, has said exactly the same thing. These were bogus cases. They were political prosecutions, and we just have to hope that maybe finally the legal system in New York will come to its senses and quit acting politically and try to get rid of these cases. By the way, if Alvin Bragg was smart, you know, the New York DA, he would do that because, you know, he's only one of two of the left-wing rogue Soros-supported prosecutors left in the country. The latest one, all the rest have been defeated or have resigned from office. And the latest was just Steve Gaskin, the bizarre left-wing DA in Los Angeles, who just got, I mean, he got whipped in the polls and was thrown out by the L.A. voters who were tired of somebody who wasn't interested in actually prosecuting real crimes.
Hans von Spakovsky with us right now. On these appeals, when you talk about the potential of a judge dismissing these cases, whether it's Merchan or the appeals court, if Donald Trump has been found guilty on these charges and then the cases are dismissed, does that exonerate Donald Trump?
Well, certainly if the appeals court, for example, comes in and says there was no valid there were no valid grounds for the conviction. Yeah, I think that does exonerate him.
So he would would that be expunged from his record? He wouldn't have that be a part of his official record any longer?
That is correct. Yeah.
Oh, man. I have a bazillion more questions, and we have, fortunately, a lot of time to talk about this as the weeks do come, and we do know that President-elect Donald Trump will have the ability to push back on some of these things. I do want to ask you, though, how you feel about the way the election was carried out. And we saw lots of things kind of bubble up to the surface. It seemed like from what the side that we were looking at, certainly, that the RNC jumped in quick with a team of lawyers to try to clarify or push back on various instances. But compare in your mind as an election integrity expert, 2020 versus 2024.
We were in much better shape in 2024 all over the country. Georgia passed a huge reform package that helped ensure this year there really weren't any big controversies in Georgia. Same thing in North Carolina, another battleground state. And also the big difference you just mentioned. Look, in 2020, neither the RNC nor the Trump campaign were prepared for the tactics that were being used by Democrats, which was to make sudden changes right before the election that violated state law, and nothing was done about it. This time, when these kind of isolated incidents occurred, they went to court immediately, like the county in Pennsylvania, that when people were in line to vote early, when the closing time came, told everybody in line, we have to go home, you can't vote. Well, that's a violation of state law. You can't do that. If you're in line at the time the polling place closes, you are entitled to vote. Well, the RNC, the Trump campaign, they were in court immediately and got an order from a judge saying, you're right, the county just violated state law. You have to have extended hours now, early voting, to make up for that. They did that in more than one location. There were other places where this also happened. This time they were ready and they were able to thwart a lot of the efforts to try to manipulate and, frankly, break the rules to gain a political advantage.
Hans, this is Ryan Wiggins. I've heard a lot of people asking, is the RNC, is this team of lawyers still active post-election looking into these issues? Because obviously Donald Trump's going to be the president. But are they still saying, no, we still got to look into these things quickly?
I don't know if they are. I hope they are. Because people need to understand that we can't rest on our laurels here. There are still a lot of things that need to be fixed. Just look at Arizona. We're still waiting on results in Arizona. And the reason for that is that despite the problems they had in 2020, the problems they had in the 2022 election, they haven't fixed any of those. And so how many days after the election, and that's one of the states, we're still waiting for them to come up with the results. That tells you there's still a lot of work that needs to be done, certainly before the next congressional elections in 2026.
Hans von Spakovsky, it's so great to have you shepherding us through these last 4 years, and we're looking forward to the conversations as they continue on into Trump's presidency. It's going to be very interesting, and you always bring a legal expertise to our audience. We're really thankful for that. So we'll talk to you again soon, and look forward to some very positive, forward-thinking conversations.
Annie, thanks for having me.
Of course. Bye-bye. Hans von Spakovsky is a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, a former FEC commissioner as well, Department of Justice lawyer. Oh, watching as soon as the main thing that I am so looking forward to as time progresses here, talking to Hans about, is what the Trump administration does to the bureaucracy in the Justice Department. The idea that we would actually have truth and justice back in our American government, where there is no lawfare, you don't get in there and do to them what they did to us, but you do find out and root out corruption and crime, and you prosecute that. You don't manufacture it, which is what they've been doing to Donald Trump.
We couldn't speculate on what the news cycle, what the stories were going to be post-election, because we didn't know how this was going to go.
It was a 90-degree turn to the right or the left.
Exactly. So all these things now, it's like you have to revisit everything and go, okay, now under these circumstances, what does this look like?
I just want to add in here, I think Fox has not called Nevada or Arizona yet. I've seen other people say that it's been called, but New York Times hasn't either. Nevada has 92% of the vote in, and Donald Trump is up by 4 points. Looking good there. And in Arizona, they have 71% of the votes in, and he's got 5 points there. So let's wait and see. Gosh, call it during our show. Hooray. We can do a...
Yeah, we can play the little sounder.
Stamp it red.
Stamp it red.
Mark Reardon knows how to do that, of course, as well. But we'll wait and see. One way or the other, Trump is well over 270, and we are very, very happy about it. Join us on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Will we see an orderly transfer of power? Yes or no? We've heard from both Kamala Harris and Joe Biden that we would. Do you believe it? When we come back, Wiggins America, are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
All
let's
right.
Go.
Ryan Wiggins and Wiggins America next on the Annie Fry Show. Look away. There's no
way. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.